Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dolphin Show, we're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hour number 2 of 3 here on this, it's Wednesday, right, Anthony?
I thought today was Thursday.
What day is today? It's Wednesday, right?
Yeah. It's Wednesday.
Okay. I just had a mini heart attack because I thought it was Tuesday. Everybody.
Oh, yeah, that would have been bad.
It's Wednesday. I know what time it is. It's 5 o'clock because it's time. For Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
JP Finley was in Ashburn today, as he tends to be when there are things happening out there. JP, I'm sorry if I also gave you a heart attack on what day of the week it was. When it's football season, I know. When it's not football season, it's just another day of the week.
I know the feeling. It's Friday for me, though. I'm actually off the next 2 days.
Oh.
So, Wednesday to some, Friday to me.
Yeah, well, congratulations. Had we known that, Anthony probably would have played you in with Rebecca Black's Friday. That's kind of a tradition on this very silly show of ours. So, I don't know. Anthony, does that mean are we going to play JP out with Friday?
Yes, I will.
Okay, yeah, so you have that to look forward to.
I'm feeling the wrecking ball. I feel like I have wrecking ball energy at times.
You know, JP, self-scouting is important, and that's what I have to say about that. All right, let's get to the news of the day from out where you were in Ashburn, minicamp day 2, and the headline is scary, man. It's like Noah Brown carted off, and then you hear some of the details that like he walked to a cart and then was brought up. So what happened as much as you saw with the Noah Brown situation, and then what have you been able to find out about the seriousness of it?
Yeah, man, I mean, my spidey senses aren't great on this, but we don't know anything. And I think it's imperative to start there, that Dan Quinn's going to address the media tomorrow after practice, and we'll find out something, presumably, then. But we know clearly was hurt. Then he gets on the cart. The weird part, the part that makes this extra weird, I would say, was he's on the cart up to the locker room, and then he lets out, like, an audible yell. And you don't know if he was frustrated. There's also this little, like, speed bump thing from where the cart kind of gets all the way up into the locker room. And it might have been just going over that, whatever the injury was. If there's a big bump, it's going to hurt your injury more. Could have just been frustrated. Could have been mad at the driver for going too fast. But, Bob, you and I have been there enough. I almost find it a little bit weird that they took the cart into the little hallway area, the outdoor hallway area that goes to the locker room. Like, I mean, you're talking 10 feet to pull that thing in rather than just, like, have him walk that part. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem good. And unfortunately for Noah, I mean, this is kind of the story of his career is unfortunate injuries at times. I'm going to try to just wait for DQ and see what we hear, but it doesn't seem right. But, dude, everybody, the speculation that kind of starts happening among all the reporters on the sideline had a lot of variance to it, and none of us are doctors, and nobody saw once he got inside. So I don't know, man. But it didn't seem great, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was like, I'd prefer a ride versus I'll walk up. Most football players will walk if they can. They're not quite hockey players, but they're pretty tough. And so they're going to walk up.
It is a pretty steep hill.
Yeah.
For what,
like,
it's worth.
I'd be like, hell yeah, hey, I'm healthy. Give me a ride. But that's me. You know, so we'll have to see. I think what it is, though, JP, whether this particular injury is something that keep, I mean, for all we know, he's there for day 1 of training camp. For all we know, he's out there tomorrow on this little mini day, right, that they're having. So we don't know. But what it does do is kind of shock the system. And then you combine that with the fact that Gallup hasn't been out there the last couple of days with hamstrings. And it does make you kind of think about the volatility injury-wise of this receiver room. Is there, like, when you think of it through that lens of like, okay, even if this isn't something, how prepared are they to withstand some kind of injury in that receiver room? Do you feel good about the group that they have behind, let's say, Terry and Debo and that next swath of guys? Or are you looking out there being like, man, this gets real thin real fast?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's important. Like, I don't think this Noah Brown situation is going to impact the Terry situation. I think Terry's getting done regardless, and I don't think Noah can drive that market one way or another. To answer your question directly, I would say no, I'm not worried about the receiver room, but I think it's more of a tribute to Jaden Daniels than necessarily what they've put together. Remember, I mean, they lost Noah Brown the final five games last year? I want to say it was in the last month, but...
Yeah, it was.
They won two playoff games without Noah Brown active, you know? Like, Noah Brown's a good player. He is super tough and committed and is able to really drive off defensive backs and gets those pass interference calls aren't randomly happening. It's because he forces his body. You don't want to lose him. Like, the Gallup thing... Gallup wasn't in the league last year, and his health has long been a question. I can't imagine they were counting on Gallup. That's a bonus if he gives you something. One guy that I thought has looked impressive through a couple days now is Luke McCaffrey. He talked about how the game has sped up for him. You know, he's that much more removed from being a quarterback. He's had one full year playing in the NFL. I think, like, because of the McLaurin contract situation and adding Debo, like, Luke is, like, not exactly a topic of conversation, but he's still a pretty sick athlete that ideally can get open and start making a difference. But, you know, you don't have Deami, you don't have OZ. So, yeah, it is – that receiver room has turned over a lot. But as long as Terry's back and then you have Debo, I mean, those are two elite players. So, I wouldn't say I'm worried about the room.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And there's a couple guys that have kind of flashed a little bit. This Strachan dude's real big and long and lanky. He's made a couple plays. Moore, the guy who's going into his 10th year, and everyone's like, who is he? But he's an NFL player. And like, if you tell me he's this year's Olamide Zaccheaus, I'd be like, okay, sure, why not? And that's right. The thing I think when you have a guy like Jaden, JP, is like, he can make, as long as you meet the threshold of NFL player, Jaden Daniels can make you look pretty good. And I think that is also probably, to switch gears slightly here, does impact the Terry negotiations. It's like, you know, if you're the team, you're like, yeah, man, you had a career year, but it's because of five. And if I'm Terry's people, I'm being like, yeah, you want to know why Jaden was able to come into the NFL and be awesome? Because my guy was there, because Terry was incredible last year. Where do you think these negotiations sit, and do you think that this gets done before or during training camp?
I think before. I think if it doesn't get done before, then you've got a problem. But until training camp, I don't think you have a problem. If that tracks.
Yeah, it does, but I think it's worth double-clicking on that for the audience for a second. Like, when we say a problem, like, let's say it doesn't get done before camp and it gets done 10 days into camp. What problems are we talking about there?
I think it really helps that, especially for a talented wide receiver, Terry is extremely mature and, like, not a diva, not going to take this to social media, just not that kind of person. I think there are other players where you probably see that stuff happening. I mean, heck, remember Brandon Ayuk this time last summer?
Oh, yes.
How incredibly annoying and crazy that situation was. So I really think, I mean, this is the exact same timeline of the last deal he signed. In 22, he missed a lot of it too. He missed some of OTAs. The OTAs he missed were the days we were there, because he was there plenty, you know. But him not being there when we're there makes all of us talk about, hey, Terry's not here, and it kind of gets the point across. And if you go back to 22, he also missed minicamp. And then he signed a new deal on July 6th. I think if you listen to Dan Quinn yesterday talk about Terry, saying, you know, sometimes football and business intersect, but we know who Terry is. He's a fantastic teammate, fantastic player. Like, I think the team certainly wants to get this done. I think it gets done. Well, why I say a problem is if you get to training camp, that's when it becomes a level of like how hard is the player going to go here? Because if the issue is not having guaranteed money on your contract, you get to training camp. I mean, heck, we saw with Noah Brown today, like injuries become a real thing. And that is when things change significantly, is if it gets to camp and it lingers and maybe they do get a deal done 10 days into camp and everybody's hunky-dory. You know, you and I work on contracts. Obviously the dollar figures are quite different, but there are some inherent, like, friction points and frustrations when you have contracts to get done. And McLaurin, to me, is just using leverage while he has it. But, like, if you get to camp and it's not done and then you're concerned about injuries, I mean, you see more and more guys holding in it now, and it's not in Terry's character whatsoever to be, like, a distraction, but if Terry's on the sideline not practicing, you know, the media's job becomes asking the other guys, hey, what's it like? Is it weird seeing Terry over there not going? And by and large, NFL players are pro athletes and understand the deal, but like it just continues to become a bigger and bigger thing. Like it, you know, a snowball going down a hill, gaining some snow.
Totally. And it's as much an opportunity cost thing, right? It's like, if we're not spending our energy on this, what could we be spending it on? And right, with a guy like Terry, he's not going to actively fracture the locker room or anything like that, but he's just kind of lingering, and there is some intangible effect on it. And not to mention, do you wind up starting a little bit slower? I mean, it's weird because last year, I think Chase held in, right, in Cincinnati, and then he won the Triple Crown, but also the Bengals started really slow. So, like, I don't know what to make of that. And be like, hey, yeah, if you're going to have Jamar Chase this season, hell yeah, hold in. Get your money and then go out and win the Triple Crown. But it's not how they want to do business. They want everybody rolling the same direction. Pick your analogy. We know that's how Quinn wants it. And every day that Terry's not on the boat is less than ideal. All right, JP Finley's with us. Of course, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You can catch him weekdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., except for tomorrow and Friday, because he's off. Also catch him on NBC4. All right, Marshawn Lattimore. He spoke today. It was interesting to hear him talk about, yeah, I was definitely hurt last year, tried to play through it, obviously didn't go great. What'd you make of what he said, and what have you made of him and what you've seen the last 2 days?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Noah Brown injury is the headline, but I think Marshawn's words, and how about this? I think Marshawn being healthy is more impactful. Yeah. Like, if Lattimore is good and can give you a solid season, and then I really like Trey Amos, I think Mikey Sammerstill put enough on, like, who's not excited for year two of Sammerstill? If you get 15 games of lockdown corner from Lattimore, all of a sudden the secondary is a strength and the defense looks so much better. So I thought it was really encouraging talking to Marshawn. I thought he doesn't strike me as a dude that loves doing media, but he showed a real level of honesty and like even vulnerability today that I was pretty impressed by. And I think Lattimore is absolutely loved by players and coaches, and I think we saw like a snapshot of why today. Now, listen, if you got lingering hamstring issues and you can run well in June, but in October you got problems, the vulnerability and honesty doesn't really matter. But this is one the Commanders are leaning on their docs on this. They think they can figure this out, and if they're right, it's a big bonus to this defense.
For sure. Did he talk at all today, JP, about why he just showed up for the mandatory portion and kind of what he's been working on in the meantime when he wasn't there for the voluntary portion?
Not while I was there, but there were like, I mean, you know how it gets. There were multiple things. Yeah,
they went double scrum on you today, which is really a reporter's worst nightmare.
Well, double scrum, and you could get players coming off the field, and Revo wasn't at a podium, and Revo just got the contract extension, and I wanted to get that. So we were pulled a lot of directions. So if he did address it, I didn't hear it.
All right. Fair enough. Anthony, bookmark, if Marshawn Lattimore said anything about missing the voluntary portion and the sound that we got.
My guess is, though, he didn't. And I don't even, my guess is he wasn't asked. Like, I just, you know, I was working out at home. Like, I don't think there's anything to it, you know?
I mean, I guess, but I know this has been a topic of conversation that we've been having on the show, and like Logan and I have been talking about it on and off the air as well. Of it's such a weird thing because on a principle level, any guy is allowed to miss. They are voluntary. That is negotiated by the NFLPA. If they have a plan and they're ready and they show up in mandatory camp and they do what they're supposed to do, they show up at training camp and they ball out, do whatever you want. But it does feel like there's almost an unwritten rule of who is and isn't allowed to miss. And it feels like based off his play the last couple of years, Lattimore is more along those lines. And the other thing that I thought Logan said on Take Command that was super interesting was, you know, when Logan got to Atlanta in 20, whatever that was, 16, 17, when he played for Dan, football had not been fun for a couple of years from him. They had some bad years here in Washington. He was in Chicago and they were the worst offense in the league. And he goes to Atlanta and he's like, Dan made football fun again. And it feels like for Marshawn, after these injuries and whatever, just being around this energy would be good for him. And so that's the like kind of what I would want to know is like, hey, man, why, like, what's it been like to be around these guys? And, you know, was there any thought of coming to be a part of this during the voluntary portion, even though you've had a plan that's worked for you for the last couple of years, and see if he would answer it that way, you know?
Yeah, I think that is that's a fair question, especially the way you're framing it with making football fun. Because, I mean, Lattimore was clearly unhappy in New Orleans. I think that situation had gone super sideways. I mean, that's a relevant point. I get people have questions about it, right? I think it's just the nature of it's just the business of football. And maybe that sounds like a catch-all, but it's I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they start talking about business, and there's only so much following up you can do. All right, wrapping up here with J.P. Finley on the Hoffman Show. They've got this, you know, family day, shorter practice, whatever they're going to do tomorrow, and then it's hold your breath season across the NFL. You don't want any news. I guess this team wants a Terry contract done. Outside of that, you don't want any news, and then you're going into training camp. But there are still some names floating out there. Do you think Washington, the obligatory question here, JP, do you think Washington makes any significant, and I'll let you define significant roster move between now and the opening of training camp outside of signing Terry McLaurin to an extension?
I lean no. You mean like trading for Hendrickson or something like that?
It could be trading for Hendrickson, trading for Ramsey. You know, I guess Dobbins and Chubb are now off the market. So there, I don't know if there's any free agents left that you would deem significant.
A roster move that headlines SportsCenter or something.
I would say headlines SportsCenter and or like they sign someone who's going to play real snaps for them.
The real snaps thing could be different because I still think we could see releases. And, I mean, dude, they signed Noah Brown like September 1st, and he played a ton for them.
Well, sure.
So I think there still could be signings that end up mattering a lot. But I don't know. But, like, if you're Washington at this point, like, if you wanted Hendrickson, you know, they called about it. I don't know what sense he's going to do there. And then, like, T.J. Watt, I don't think so, but I don't know. I wouldn't say definitively, but I don't think there's another SportsCenter headline move coming.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I feel like they like their roster better than the outside does. And the outside does. It's funny because even the outside, people are like, I don't know. I'm not buying Washington's offseason. All right, well, who do you like in the NFC? Well, Philly, obviously. And then I like Washington. And I'm like, what? Right. What are you people saying? We have the whole summer to figure that out. J.P. Finley, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Check out the podcast from earlier today if you'd like. And then, of course, also speaking of podcast, the Beltway Football Show with he and our guy Mitch Tischler and NBC4. You can catch him there, including the All Ears Show. So check that out. J.P., enjoy your off days, sir, and thanks for the time.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, all right. No problem.
J.P. Finley with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, 5:30, we talked to J.P.'s colleague at NBC4, Mark Seagraves. He was thrown out of a meeting City Council was discussing the RFK funding situation. Mark was like, hi, hello, I'm here to do my job. And they're like, no, you're not. That video going around the interwebs. Mark has been reporting on all the RFK stuff. And now the question really that Mark was trying to answer, and we're all trying to answer, and hopefully Mark has some answers, is City Council about to put this whole deal at risk? And if they do, would DC and the Commanders have a deal? Or are they, would the Commanders say, nope, we're going back to Maryland because we can't get this thing done on time? Is this do or die for the Commanders and RFK? We discuss with Mark Seagraves from NBC4 next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We're scheduled here to be joined by Mark Seagraves of NBC4. Anthony, was he on the phone? Because now it's dropped.
Yes. So I just texted him to see if he was still good, but... I'm not sure what happened there.
Sometimes the reporting gets in the way of, you know, joining us. So here's what we're going to do in the meantime. Let's get everybody the baseline here of what is happening with RFK. Because it's a little squirrely. It's a little weird. And Mark, as usual, was on the scene to cover it all. So here's from NBC4's story on their website, NBCWashington.com. The D.C. City Council held a closed-door meeting Tuesday morning to discuss removing the deal to build a new Commander Stadium from the district's budget. The deal to bring the team back to the district at the RFK Stadium site could be carved out of the 2026 budget and voted on separately. The vote would not occur until after the budget vote. The Commanders' deal with DC requires an agreement by July 15th. If that date passes, the Commanders could start negotiating again with Maryland or Virginia. Mayor Muriel Bowser recently said a delay by the DC City Council could jeopardize the deal. In a statement Tuesday, the mayor said the time to debate the deal is now. A delay sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table and a $2.7 billion private investment, Bowser's statement said. The Commanders and my team, a.k.a. the mayor's team, are ready to iron out the details with the council and respond to any concerns. It should be clear, but let me emphasize, if council strips the deal, terms, or budgeted dollars from the budget, it kills our agreement with the Commanders. So that is what Mayor Bowser said. As for what was happening behind the closed doors in this city council meeting, Mark Seagraves went and tried to find out. And NBC4's Mark Seagraves is with us now. Mark, then they kicked you out?
Yeah, not the first time, and it won't be the last time. but yes, they did. You know, the D.C. Council, and I will say, for me and for a lot of people, this is as big a deal as the command. What they were discussing is the fact that for years, for almost two decades, D.C. law said, if the D.C. Council, the majority of members of the D.C. Council were meeting to discuss public business, they had to give 2 days notice to the public and it had to be open to the public. And there were exemptions if they wanted to talk about personnel matters or top secret negotiations with somebody or, you know, top secret security stuff. But stuff like the budget had to be discussed in public. And last month, the council changed that law and the mayor went along for the ride and signed it into action. And now legally they can do this. They can have these secret meetings behind closed doors and not tell anybody. I happened to find out about this meeting and walked in at the exact moment that they were discussing RFK.
So let me backtrack to that larger picture here. And this is a sports show. We'll spend most of this on RFK, but like, these are public officials discussing public business. Why on earth would it happen behind closed doors?
Because that's how they make...
How they go back and forth with one another, and, you know, that's how the sausage is made, and they don't want to see... They don't want the public to see that. And, you know, they say, oh, they don't want their dirty laundry done in public and things like that, but, you know, that's how this is done. And this is, you know, people have said, have compared this to, like, this is a seat of government that's asking for representation, right? We don't have any representation in Congress, but yet when it comes down to local level, they want to work in secrecy. And so it's really unfortunate. As a member of the press and as a D.C. resident taxpayer, I find it very unfortunate. The chairman knows exactly how I feel about these meetings. He knows I will try to force myself in every time they have one of these if I'm around. And like I said at the top of the interview, this won't be the last time they throw me out of one of their meetings.
All right, Mark Seagraves with us, dogged reporter for NBC4, covering the RFK situation. So how much of a situation do we really have here, Mark? Like, is the city council actually going to peel this out? And if they do, is there any chance that it gets done before the July 15th deadline? And I guess the last part, after reading the story on your website on NBCWashington.com, is like, even if they were able to make the chronology work, does the sheer part or fact of them peeling it out of the budget, would that nullify the deal anyway, and thus that deadline becomes irrelevant?
Look, this is a serious roadblock, and I have to say, the commander's statement that they gave me after I broke this story yesterday, it took them all day. I called them in the morning, right? And the mayor's office and the commander's, I called them when I walked into that meeting. As soon as they threw me out, I called the commander's and I called the mayor's office. It took them 6 hours for both of entities to come up with a statement. I was really surprised at how forceful and threatening the commander's statement was. I really expected that the commanders would throw Bill Mendelson, the chairman of the council, a bone and say, okay, we'll agree to give you an extra month so that you can claim a victory and you can have some time to, you know, have a separate hearing, and this will, you know, let you save face and claim victory, and we can give you that. That's what I really expected would happen. Instead, the commanders doubled down with the mayor and said, no, you're going to lose FIFA. You're going to lose this. This is what D.C. has at stake if they don't get this done by July 15th. They really drew a line in the sand. And I don't know how many council members the chairman has on his side to delay any portions of this vote. Now, the chairman has said that the debt service for the $500 million upfront money that they need in this first portion of the development and the legislation, he says that will be protected. That will be in the budget. We don't know what other parts he's planning because it was behind closed doors. So we didn't hear what he told the council members was his vision of what he wanted to take out of the budget and delay. You know, so we're and no one has said, but what we do know is Zach Parker from Ward 5 has since been on the record as saying the vote could be delayed till as late as September or October. That is a significant delay that I don't think the commanders can stomach. Will they go to Maryland and kiss D.C. goodbye? That's a stretch. They've expended a lot of political capital in the White House, in the halls of Congress, and then dollar-wise and otherwise, you know, they're into it. That said, they're not so far down the road that they can't pull out and they can't start looking for a better deal. And all you have to do is look at Virginia and Glenn Youngkin and Ted Leonsis to know that it ain't done until it's done, right? And so anything can happen at this point. So, this is a serious concern for the commanders. It was expected. It did not come out of the blue. They should have been expecting this. But the commanders are doubling down on they want it. They want that preliminary vote by July 15th.
So, Mark, how real is this timeline here? Like, this could be viewed as this is a political box that the commanders and Mayor Bowser are trying to put the city council in to get this thing done. But it could also be real in terms of construction timelines. And maybe this thing has been delayed so long that if they don't have this done by July 15th, they can't actually get the stadium built by 2030, nevertheless 2031 when, well, 2030 when they want it to open for the Commanders, 2031 right. when the Women's World Cup is here, amongst the other big events that they are hoping to land in that time frame. So is this politics? Is this real construction timelines and not as much of a political game?
Yes, it is both. So, look, the chairman and the council have a very valid point that the mayor proposed her budget that includes the stadium legislation much later in the calendar than they typically would. And this, some of this was because of Congress doing the $1 billion budget cut for the current year. And so the mayor has some, you know, explanation as to why it was late, but the chairman and the council are right. Normally they would have much more time to go over something like this. And again, if I put on my D.C. resident cap, yeah, I think if my if $1 billion of my tax dollars are going to go to anything, I would like to see public hearings on stuff like that. And now we're not going to get standalone public hearings on the stadium. So the council has a point in that respect. That said, Josh Harris has made it clear long before they announced this deal, wherever they were going, 2030, that was the date. That was his target. That's what he wants. And so you kind of have to go with that. And so, again, you know, you're also looking, you know, when you're talking construction these days, you're talking tariffs, right? You're talking about the cost of goods and materials that are in such flux that any delay on anything can cost significant amounts of money. And so they obviously want to get this started, start buying things, start getting things, prices locked in as soon as they possibly can. That said, I don't think this is a deal killer. I really, even if they don't make the July 15th deadline, I don't think that will kill the deal. I think the Commanders and the mayor, they have it in the contract that if they mutually agree to extend that deadline, they can. And I think if the council can say, look, in good faith, by July 15th, we did approve the financing, the debt service for this. So we've made progress. The Commanders may look at that and say, okay, you're operating in good faith. But again, I think if you start with Zach Parker's September, October timeline, that's where I think the Commanders get really, really concerned and worried. And that's why I think Mayor Bowser was a council member and has been mayor for 10 years. And she knows that until it's signed, sealed, and delivered, anything can happen. And she wants to avoid that. And that's why she has been steadfast in this July 15th deadline. And look no further than the Washington Nationals baseball, you know, Nats Park. I was in the room when they took that vote at midnight and everybody thought it was going to pass, and Linda Kropp changed her vote at the last minute and everybody thought the deal was dead. And all hell broke loose. And then they went back to the table, they made a few negotiations and changed a few things, came back and voted, and obviously we've got, you know, world champion baseball team in park in D.C. now because of that. So, you know, it's both politics and it's the reality of financing a multi-billion dollar project in this day and age.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Mark Seagraves with us here on the Hoffman Show, reporter for NBC4 covering city council and thus the mayor's office and thus the RFK Stadium situation. We're going to go with situation, Mark. When you think about the city council members that are in flux here, the swing votes, the ones that are going to matter, how many of them are going to be motivated by the politics, how it looks, did it look like I put up a fight versus the substance, and then being able to say later, like, this is why I did it? Because ultimately, like, public hearings are important. They do matter. I am not anti-public hearings by any stretch of the imagination, but we also elect these people to do a job, and this is part of their job. And I think that if you were a council member who wanted to try to take a look at it and vote with your conscience based off the information available, you could sell that later. Like, you elected me to do this, and I thought it was important enough to get it done. So how many of them will be motivated? Do you have a whip count, if you will, on either side of the motivations for these council members?
So while I may be the oldest, longest serving D.C. reporter in town right now, I am absolutely the worst at counting votes, and I have 25 years of getting it wrong to prove that. I will say, here's what we know. Going into this week, the mayor felt like she had 10 votes, 10 yes votes out of 12 who would say yes to the stadium, and she only needs 7. And we even saw Phil Mendelson, who'd been a no, switch to maybe and yes, but I'm going to make it better. And so the votes are there to pass this. The question is, can Mendelson rally a couple of them to delay it? And that's what we're going to find out by July 14th exactly whether or not he has those votes to do that. My guess is that the commanders and the mayors are going to come up with something to give those council members before then, to give them enough assurance that they feel comfortable taking that vote on July 15th. Or Mendelson, who said he's meeting with the team later this week, reaches a deal with the commanders that they allow him some type of delay. And maybe it's Zach Parker saying August or saying October, and then the commander saying, like, we'll give you August, right? And just, the negotiations afoot. But these are the conversations that are, again, going on behind closed doors that the public is not privy to, and so we just have to wait and see how it plays out on the dais.
Do we have any idea what, like, delaying it seems silly for the sake of delaying it. They're delaying it for a reason. Do we know what the reasons are?
We know the council just hired Robert Bob was the city administrator under Mayor Williams. He helped with the negotiations to be the baseball team here. He actually did a report for the mayor on the NFL stadium, and now he's been hired by the council to look into all of this, what this deal actually means, and to give them a report so they know fiscally what it's going to mean for the city. My good friend and colleague Tom Sherwood just tweeted today that he believes Robert Bob's chief job will be not producing a report, but acting as the go-between and the mediator between the mayor and Phil Mendelson, because they just don't play well in the sandbox together.
All right, last question for Mark Seagraves, NBC4. We know one of the firm no's is Ward 1 council member Brianne Nadeau. Mark, that's my council member. We have requested an interview with her. She doesn't want to talk. Do we have any idea why she is a firm no and not willing to talk about it?
Yeah, she just doesn't believe it's a good use of funds. She and Charles Allen are probably the two steadfast no votes on this that you can count to vote no. I don't honestly know how they would vote. They would probably vote yes on a delay for whatever motivating reasons that would motivate them to do that. Councilmember Nadeau doesn't put herself out there a lot, and for press, she does do interviews sometimes. She stops her in the hallway, she'll stop, she will talk to you. But I would venture to say that she doesn't see going on your show as going into friendly territory where she's going to win a lot of hearts and minds. Your audience probably more than not wants the stadium. And so, what does she have to gain by going on your show? I don't think she's going to change a lot of your listeners' mind. And so that's probably what's going through her head.
I don't need to tell you this, but if you can't explain yourself to people who disagree with you, then you've entered the wrong business as a politician. Like, then you don't have firmly held beliefs. And that's just, maybe that's the intrepid reporter somewhere inside of me being like, you should be willing to answer questions.
You describe 50%, if not more, of all politicians in the country.
Well, Mark, that might be a conversation for a different show, as we like to say around here.
Indeed.
Mark, appreciate your time as always. Thank you, sir. Great work, and good luck getting kicked out of your next meeting.
Anytime. I love being on your show. Have me anytime. I appreciate it.
You got it. It's Mark Seagraves with us here on The Hoffman Show. And again, like, Anthony, I just have questions. And if you're not, as a public official, willing to answer them, especially in front of people who disagree with you, like, what's the point? If all you're going to do is just speak to the people that already agree with you, then, like, no one ever changes their mind on anything. No one has new information. There's, okay, you think one way, I think another. If you think you're right, why aren't you willing to explain that to me? I'm not trying to bite your head off. I'm not trying to be like, how could you possibly think that? And there's a chance. I hate the phrase "we agree to disagree" because I think it is incredibly overused and people try to avoid conflict and uncomfortable conversations that could actually create a deeper understanding because of it. But there is a chance that foundationally, fundamentally, we would have a conversation that would result us in coming to two conclusions on this kind of thing. That she says, I think that the money can go here. And I would say, well, I think this. And she would go, either, well, we just disagree on that. Okay, fine. What I value versus what she values, and she thinks the rest of my neighbors in Ward 1 value, reasonably, could be different things. But at the very least, what I would like to know is, are we operating from the same information, right? Everyone gets their own opinions. You don't get your own facts. You can value facts at a different level, but that like, on a foundational level, bothers me when a public official will not come on a show like this and discuss the biggest thing, arguably, from a budget standpoint, not to mention what it means to so many people in the city, just flat out, nope, not interested. Especially when you're, you know, the interview request is like, hi, I'm one of your constituents. Can we chat? No? Well, damn.
Yeah, it just sound like, you know, they're stuck in their own, you know, little bubble, and their perspective is theirs, and they don't want to, you know, hear others. So,
I mean, if you're that entrenched, then you should be willing to explain yourself.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. That's all I got to say about that. Thanks again to Mark for joining us. When we get back on the field, football style, it's our pick six at 6, and at 6:30, we're previewing tonight's game 3 of the NBA Finals.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.